Hello, good afternoon and welcome to the Property Sunday Show. Each week we take a look at some of the headline stories and welcome the experts to decipher the details for us, as well as encouraging you to join in the conversation. It's your opportunity to ask some of those burning property, real estate, legal and financial questions and air your opinion today. Well, let me introduce our regular contributors who join each Sunday. Ludmila Yamalova, Managing Partner with Yamalova and Plefka, legal consultants. A very warm welcome to you as always. How are you doing?
Happy Sunday, Siobhan. Great. How
Thank
are you doing?
I'm good. I'm well. What have you got for us this week?
Okay, well, it wasn't a very busy week, but there are a few interesting stories of note. You know, one, actually several stories surrounding bounce checks and the ramifications of writing and posited checks and then bouncing checks, and also justifications at least by some in favor of using or requiring posited checks as guarantees. There have also been interesting updates on real estate brokers and RERA's attempts to regulate real estate brokers and brokerage companies and the various offenses that often occur amongst brokers in Dubai. A few updates on real estate projects, you know, Amar swaps houses for downtown Dubai, hotels, update on occupation or occupancy of Burj Khalifa. Dubai unveils a new project, a tourism project, in the value of $32 million.
Not a lot of details, unfortunately, on that, though.
Not at all, other than it's going to be, I think, 150-meter something tower, long tower, but not in terms of the attractions, especially, you know, tourism attractions that it's supposed to house. Also, there's another story about Dubai developer test the market appetite for 20 million plus properties, and that's in Al Barer, which is kind of a high luxury development by the Maidan area of villas. Basically, that are now being launched at 20 million plus per villa.
Who's the developer?
I think it's Al Barari. That's sort of, they haven't really released any new villas recently, and so this is the first, the first attempt to release a few villas, and they're all being priced at, 20 plus million and up. And then there's an interesting article about the Maidan involved in a $3.5 billion or dirham lawsuit against Arabtech and another Australian contractor. A few updates about Abu Dhabi and its real estate market if we get a chance to get to that.
Yes, a lot to get through as always, Ludmila. Thank you very much. I look forward to getting into more detail about all those stories mentioned. And as always, if you've got any legal questions, why not text in? And I know Ludmila will do her very best to answer as many as we can over the next 2 hours. Well, let's also welcome Mike Small of VSM Consulting. Very good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Siobhan.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, yes.
What have you got for us this week?
I don't know, I've got anything because Lumina's going to take the first 5 hours.
We'll condense
as
it.
As usual, but
talk
I can't.
We'll talk very quickly, shall we?
We'll talk very quickly, yeah. No. I've lots of stories. I mean, obviously last week we said everyone was celebrating the EU success story and I said it'd last a week. Well, it lasted till Friday, so I was a little bit generous. It lasted 4 days. And then Spanish rates went above 7 again, Italian rates went above 6. Why? Because the leaders lied. And they've destroyed trust again because they all went around saying, we've got an agreement. And of course the Germans said, well, no, you've got an agreement when we have a proper facility in place. And they haven't, so no agreement. So I don't know why people get excited about this because they should have lost faith in the politicians of the West by now, especially the European ones. So that's a big story. Because it will impact us, whatever people say, it will impact us. It has to. It's a global credit crunch, number two, coming along. It just needs confirming, and it just needs the politicians to accept it rather than keep denying it and keep wasting $100 billion a week trying to stop it.
Well, it's quite interesting. So, I mean, we'll get into more detail about this, because there's a headline that I think it was in the Arabian Business that said, Gulf banks to escape Eurozone turmoil, says S&P. And this is, if I quote from the article, it says, Gulf banks are likely to continue their steady recovery from 2008 crisis and remain isolated from the Eurozone turmoil for the rest of 2012 and 13. And this is according to a new report by Standard and Poor's. So I thought that's perhaps...
It's slightly more positive than maybe I paint it sometimes, but I think you've got to realise that the system is one system. And when banks start to retrench and when the European banks start to retrench and then no one trusts them, then money goes out the system. And you can't avoid that. You know, everyone said it wouldn't happen in global credit crunch. One, of course it does, because at the moment, you know, you've got like a heart attack in each centre where the money goes back to the centre. It's like a heart attack where the blood rushes from the periphery or from the outer limbs back to the heart to make sure the heart survives. That's what happens in a global credit crunch. Money rushes back to the centre, back to the money centre banks. And there's a lot of there's a lack of trust, which of course Barclays and the other banks in rigging the LIBOR have completely blown up any trust anyway.
Yeah, so you've got a
confluence of events now which could be very, very nasty, because no one yet understands how that's going to affect it.
Well, loads to get through again.
There's tons to get through. It depends on how much time we get.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks very much. I look forward to us going into a lot more details with those stories as well. Well, it's also a pleasure to welcome our guests this week, joining us here in the studio, Richard Bradstock, who's Senior Consultant with IP Global. Richard, welcome to the programme. Good to see you.
Thank you very much.
And IP Global is a leading property investment company specialising in securing prime investments, opportunities, and I think, is it 20 emerging and developed markets across the world?
Yeah, thus far.
And you've just recently issued the Olympic Edition Property Barometer for the second quarter in 2012. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting comparison, if I may. It's sort of, the research, as I understand, showcases the most attractive residential and commercial property investment markets around the world based on a study of cities that have played host to the Olympic Games in the past. And they've got various different categories and hotspots, gold, silver and bronze medalists, etc.
Yeah.
So we're really looking forward to getting it into a lot more detail of this report and seeing, in fact, how, I suppose, London fares. Of course, that is the
gold medalist
city, yes, that hosts the Olympics this year. But thanks for joining us.
Pleasure.
And we also have Chris Allen, who is a mortgage consultant also with IP Global, joining us. Chris, welcome to the programme. Good to see you.
Hi again, Shubin. Go on.
And I think you're open to any mortgage questions.
Yeah.
But mostly not really so much focused on this part of the world, are you?
No, I spend a lot of time now sorting mortgages for people buying back in the UK, especially London, also in New York and in Malaysia. In fact, the areas that IP Global specialise in at the moment.
New York and Malaysia?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, and quite a few in New York and also in San Francisco. Actually.
Is that people from this part of the world buying over there?
Yeah. Right. IP have identified some good units over there, and so I help our clients buy over there.
Not Olympic cities, however, of course.
No. Yet. Possibly.
And where are these clients from, I guess, nationality or citizenship-wise?
UK. So I've got three going on that are buying in New York at the moment, and they're all here working here in DIFC, and they're all originate from the UK.
Right, that's what I wanted to know, because I mean the US is always, I mean I've at least thought that the US real estate market has always been a lucrative market for the last several years, and it's a lot less pricey than a lot of the properties in the UAE. But the problem with the US is it's not easily accessible for a lot of nationalities. You know, if you're a British passport holder, obviously that's different. But for example, Iranians, you know, and other Middle Eastern nationals, it's a lot it's a lot less welcoming of those kind of individuals.
Mm. And property in New York, I mean, is that what people are looking at?
Well, go back to Richard, really, and you've heard also from speaking to Rob Pierce earlier about IP and their methodology and the way they select properties and areas around the world. And so, that's
are we talking high-end properties?
I think it's fair to say with New York and with all the properties we have around the world, if you can concentrate in city centre markets, which where the demand is highest, supply is lowest, because there's not much space. I mean, you mentioned other parts of the US just now, and obviously on our barometer we've got Atlanta, which we've disqualified, and various other places like Detroit and Florida, and the markets like these where oversupply is a huge problem, vacancy rates are huge, and so we're very much concentrating on
San Francisco is my hometown, so
we've just started moving into San Francisco too, actually.
Right. So. Very nice.
Well, also, I mean, with the Emirates having those direct flights now to the West Coast of the United States, I mean, that's a huge market.
It does.
You know, I mean, just 4 years ago, I think 3 years ago, there were no flights to the West Coast. Now there are two a day to Los Angeles, one to San Francisco, and they just introduced one to Seattle. So I can see how it's going to open up.
Yeah.
So a lot of opportunities there for those who live here.
And just briefly, Malaysia. Now, I think we'd spoken briefly about Malaysia, I think, some time back, actually, how it was relatively unscathed. I don't know if it's continued to be that way, unscathed from the financial crisis.
I would agree with that, and certainly for what I do on the mortgage side, and I know Mike's a great fan of mortgages, dealing with the UK and seeing what's gone over there, especially with Bob Diamond and the LIBOR thing last week, with Malaysia, with KL and the properties we've found over there and we're recommending to our clients, people like Standard Chartered and UOB and HSBC and the banks that we deal with over there have been unscathed. They weren't part of what went on over the last 5 years, and so therefore... Yes, I wouldn't say it was easy to get a mortgage there, but it's easier than certainly in the UK.
Mm. If you look at the real estate market there, it's only really 2008, which had a minor dip, and not a large one by comparison to London or...
And who are the big buyers there, though? Is it mainly Asia, or are we seeing more people from this
country? Anyone and everyone. We deal with a lot of Westerners, but also, obviously, a lot of Indian clients and...
I know people who bought from here, actually. Well, they were British living in here, who bought in Malaysia for a very reasonable price, actually, in an area that there's a lot of new developments, aren't there, which I think are close to Singapore. And I can't remember the area, I'm afraid.
It's called Iskandar, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, that's where Mubadala have invested.
That's right. Yeah.
Right, as well.
And I thought also it's also been very popular with Middle Eastern.
Well, it's an Islamic country.
Exactly.
It's very much recognises that in many different ways. So I suppose
it's got links with Indonesia and those sort of massive Islamic markets as well. It's not many other places can boast those links.
I mean, it is a very unique country in that sense because it has a very large sort of minority Indian population, Chinese, and then Malayans, and they all sort of different religions, different cultures, and yet they've been able to coexist and flourish together. And therefore, it opens up, I think, opportunities for for people from all of those nationalities. In the Indian market, you can imagine how huge that is. Chinese and
There are no restrictions, essentially.
Oh, so anyone can buy there,
right?
Yeah. Well, we've gone all over the world already, but we're going to come back, take a quick break. I must give you the text message number out as well if you'd like to join in the conversation today. Any questions at all for any of my guests, we'd love to hear from you. When we come back, though, we're going to get to grips with this Olympic edition property barometer from IP Global. That's all coming up.